If you say you have 25 days left until Christmas, or 24 really, right? 24 days left till Christmas. Some of you maybe might have a reaction to that, a feeling that wells up. Do you? Panic? Yeah. It's common. Very common feeling. You go, wait, how many days left? I need a time machine. Quick. And today, this morning, I put an insert into your bulletin about a concept called Advent conspiracy. And the leadership was grateful, was gracious enough to allow me to speak on this concept, which I find dear to my heart. And as we begin Advent, we take a look at Christmas and say, is there anything that we're missing, or is there something wrong with our approach to this? And if so, what and how do we deal with it? So to kind of frame all that up and give you a taste of that, I've got a video that I want to show you. So gentlemen, would you please show that clip? So a quick history on the filmmakers, the Advent Conspiracy, and about 2006, a group of three pastors and about five churches decided, what if we took a new look at Christmas, and what would that look like, and how would that look in terms of our churches? If we call our churches to participate in that, or call people to participate in that, how would that look? What would that look like? And how would that change the way we view Christmas? Because honestly, we've lost a lot of that perspective. And one of the things that these pastors said is, we're not calling anybody to something new or radical or something that is newly invented or something like that. It's actually very simple and basic and back to the original intent of Christmas, remembering the birth of Jesus and what that means to us as people and the people of God. And so to get back to that root, we look at the first concept of Advent conspiracy, or this idea of reclaiming Christmas. And your handout has four pieces of Advent conspiracy. You can use those to follow along. You can use the back of your handout, which I intentionally left blank so that you could write notes or ideas or things that come into your mind as we talk through this. Because I'm hoping the Holy Spirit will bring things to mind as we talk about Christmas and how we as believers can address it and come into it with fresh eyes. And the first concept, the first most important piece of Advent and this birth of Christ is worship. Worshiping fully, or worship fully. It's the idea that, and it's, we see this in Scripture, we recognize that we are created to worship. That is our purpose. That is what we do as humans. From the beginning of creation until the end, when all things are made right and renewed in a new heaven, a new earth, and all of creation is there praising God, we are made to worship. God made us originally perfectly in the Garden of Eden, and to fellowship and to worship Him in that space. And of course, we know the story there where humanity messed that up and separated ourselves from God. But if we flash forward to the end of the story, we see that recreated. We see all of creation praising God continually forever and ever. And we recognize that those bookends give us a framework to see that we do worship. That is our purpose. The problem is, because of sin, we oftentimes worship the wrong thing. We replace that worship of God with something else. Picture this with me. An individual wakes up early in the morning, 4:30. Now, there might be a few of you thinking, 4:30, that's sleeping in. But for most people, that's pretty early. Wakes up at 4:30 in the morning and gets dressed and gets a cup of coffee, maybe, and some breakfast, and gets ready to head out the door, climbs in the car and drives off to their destination. When they get there, they're all excited, and they go and they stand in front of the doorway and wait. And other people show up there with them, and they stand with them waiting to get inside. And the doors finally open at 6 o'clock or whatever, and they head inside and start grabbing all of these great deals, right? It's a toaster for $5. There's a plasma TV for $2.99. There's all kinds of things that you can grab and get. Now, that picture is Black Friday, right? You know what I'm talking about. Wake it up, go shopping. And Black Friday is a fun event, but you have to recognize that is an event of worship. The energy and the excitement and all of the person poured into that event, waking up early and getting ready and driving there and being so excited about that, are all acts of worship. And we pour ourselves into these things. But that's not true worship, is it? The question is, what do we worship? Is it the God of Black Friday or something else, or is it the King of Kings? Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. It's a story of worship. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8, is the story of the shepherds. You've read this before. You know this story, right? But we're going to look at it. Let's see if it gives us some insight into worship. Luke 2, verse 8, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." And they told Mary and Joseph what had just happened out in the field, right? "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen and had been told them. So, here's a picture of this holy night, the Savior coming, and the shepherds out hanging out in the fields, which is where shepherds tend to hang out, come, and these angels appear, and this glory of God, and they're brought to a place of worship, and the angels are singing, and they give them this instruction, go find the baby. And so they head off to do that, and when they get there, they're retelling the story to Mary and Joseph, and everybody is just amazed at what God is doing right here, right? It's a spectacular story. We hear it all the time, but we have to stop and go, hang on, that's amazing, right? And the shepherds leave, and Mary is pondering these things, and the shepherds return, verse 19, and says, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The shepherds are moved to this place of worship from this event, saying, God is amazing. This is incredible that God would bring us into this and we could participate and see this child. The shepherds fully worship God because of this experience. They're completely in awe, and their attention is totally on him. And the truth is, it's our privilege to tell this amazing story of Christmas. That's our privilege. Originally, when I crafted these notes, I wrote, it's our job to tell the story of Christmas. And then I was like, no, wait a minute. No, that makes it sound like a duty. It's our joy and privilege to tell this story. It's our story. We're in God's family. He is the author of this, and we get to tell it. And we tell it through our actions, through our behavior, through the way we interact with this thing called Christmas, this month of December, this Advent. So we engage it worshiping fully a God who is worthy of that, or worshiping things? Because that's the contrast, right? It's kind of one or the other. Like, either our attention's on God, or our attention's on the busy stress of the holidays. And the way we interact with those two things will inform others of our belief in that. I was thinking about you go to a store and shop, and maybe it's your favorite store, and you go in and they've decorated for Christmas, and they have this big banner over the doorway. What does it say? Happy holidays, right? And I was thinking about this, and this has upset me in the past. I'm like, oh, that's... But I was convicted about that this week as I thought about this story. And I thought, you know what? This story isn't their story to tell. They don't really have anything invested in this at all, other than selling stuff, right? That's their goal. That's their investment in Christmas. Buy this. It's on sale. We marked it up and then marked it back down for you. Whose story is it? It's our story. We are the ones that get to say Merry Christmas. We're the ones that get to show the world the magic of Christmas, that Jesus came. But we get caught up in this, right? So it moves us to our next piece. Spend less. That's the next piece. So if we're going to reevaluate what we think about Christmas, I think one of the things that we should be challenged on is spending less. And here's why. Picture Christmas morning. Have you ever been here before? Christmas morning, and the living room, well, it doesn't look like much like a living room anymore. Maybe a wrapping paper war zone. And there's pieces of things over here, and there's wrapping paper over here. It's fun, right? But it seems a bit excessive. Do you know the Christmas of excess? Have you ever experienced that? And the worst part is when it's all done and you're cleaning everything up, you're like, oh yeah, okay, that was kind of cool. But I don't really feel more complete or more whole because of it. I had a good time, but man, I think something is missing. Is your Christmas morning a case of excess? You know what I'm talking about? You know, the world says, if you just have, fill in the blank, you will be happy. Everywhere you go, the world tells us this, right? Driving down the freeway, turning on the TV, opening a magazine. Boy, if I just had that watch, I would be so much happier. If I just had that whatever it is. But is it true? Have you ever gotten that thing that you're like, oh yeah, if I got that, I would be happy. And then what happened? Didn't satisfy the happiness, did it? It probably, especially if it was a tech toy, which, you know, I'm into that tech stuff. 4 hours later, it's obsolete. You're like, good grief. I saved up 9 months to buy this thing. And now it's out. It doesn't even work anymore. Stuff moves so quickly. It never satisfies us, right? Stuff doesn't satisfy us. Only the Savior can do that. Stuff is not guaranteed to make people happy either. The world tells us that too. Like, if you have this, you're going to be happy and you'll be all right. And the world says, don't live in the kingdom of, the world says, live in the kingdom of more. But if you live in the kingdom of more, you'll be lacking. You want to live in the kingdom of God. So this idea is spend less. All right, what are you talking about, Dave? If the world says spend lots and you'll be happy, and we're trying to redefine Christmas, let's just think about spending less so we're not playing into that lie, that false idol. And I'm not saying don't spend anything on Christmas, all right? I think that as you begin to start thinking about Christmas and how we interact with it, God is going to lead you to different places. I was talking to a family. They've decided during Advent conspiracy to not give any presents and take all that money and do different stuff with it. I'll get to that in a minute. You have to decide for yourself what that looks like. But the challenge is to spend less because we know stuff doesn't make us happy. So what does? Well, the third piece here we're looking at is give more. They're saying, Dave, wait a minute, you just told me to spend less. Now we're saying give more. Make up your mind. But I'm not talking about buying stuff and giving it. Well, you can do that. But really, giving of ourselves. Does anybody know the history of giving? Why do we give gifts at Christmas? Anybody? St. Nicholas, okay? You know the story of St. Nicholas? The Magi, giving presents to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we have this historical picture of gift giving at Christmas. Like, have you ever thought about it? Like, why do we do gift exchange at Christmas? St. Nicholas was a German priest who gave gifts to kids, especially like dowries and things like that to provide. And even after his death, people carried on that tradition. And so I think maybe that's part of where our gift giving comes from. More commonly is the idea of the Magi, which I find funny because, well, first of all, we often see them at the manger scene, right? Which is weird. That's not at all. Like, they didn't come to the manger scene. It was possibly years after that. And we always see three of them, right? Which we don't know how many there were. The Bible doesn't tell us how many wise men there were, how many magi, but we do know that there were three gifts, and they show up with these three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when they arrive at Jesus' house, not the manger scene, right, what we don't see is them coming in and saying, hey, wow, we found Jesus. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Jesus. And then turn to each other and go, hey, Ralph, here, I got you this box of myrrh or plasma TV or whatever it is. Case they come in and they lay those gifts down at Jesus' feet and they give those gifts to Jesus. So we've kind of twisted that a little bit, haven't we? Just a little bit to make it fit our idea of this. We like giving gifts. Giving gifts is fun, right? Well, the Magi gave gifts, so we'll give gifts, but we'll just give them to each other because Jesus isn't here. I can't hand him a plasma TV, right? I'll give it to my friend. The history of we enjoy giving gifts, and I think gift giving is really good. And so give more is the idea that we're not going to spend as much on our stuff, but we're going to give relationally. And that's really what Jesus did, right? Giving relationally, what does that mean? Giving more of myself, more of my time, more of my energy, much in the way that Jesus did. If you look at Philippians 2:6 with me, you still have your Bibles out, hopefully. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, gives us a little bit of picture about how Jesus gave. And so if we're going to gather our understanding of giving from the Savior, from Jesus, we'll look at one of the ways that he gave. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 6, who, that is Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God to be a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So Jesus, in his gift, actually gave up his status with God and became a human being. Right, there's the first step. And not only that, a servant, a lowly human being. Verse 8, being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That Jesus was so giving of himself that he actually gave his life for anyone who would believe in him. That Jesus' gift is the ultimate gift of himself. So if we're going to be challenged to worship fully, we'll assess how we view Christmas and worship and all that stuff, to spend less because that really doesn't satisfy us, but to give more like Jesus does, that means giving more of ourselves. And let me tell you, that's challenging and hard. It's actually a lot easier, trust me, because I've done this, to wait until like December 21st and jump on Amazon.com really quickly and buy a bunch of gifts really fast for people that I think that they might enjoy and have them shipped overnight so that I get them at Christmas and wrap them up and they go, here you go. But how much thought and energy did that really take? It didn't take much. It was pretty easy. Stressful, but easy. It takes a lot more energy to think about giving a gift to someone who is very, it's very thought out. A lot of energy put into it. This looks like a red notebook, right? It's because it is a red notebook. But this is a very special red notebook. A lot of time and energy and love went into this notebook. It was a Christmas gift to me from my mom. And in it are pictures of me all throughout the years. Oh, you thought I was going to show you, huh? No, these pictures are for me. No. Pictures from when I was a little boy. Back when I was cute. I don't know what happened. And all throughout the years. This is a gift. It's simple. You know, it's a red notebook with pages of pictures of me. But so much energy and love and time went into this and thought. My mom couldn't run out to Amazon and buy this just a few days before Christmas. It took months of planning. And it's a testimony. When I look at this book, I see a book not only of the life of a child who was well-loved, but a mom who still loves her boy to make this book so that I could have it and take it with me and look through it. And she made one for each of my brothers, too. Talking about giving more. That kind of creative, unusual, but giving of ourselves, something that's special. It can be really simple. One of the stories that I heard was a guy who purchased a bag of coffee beans, and he gave the coffee beans to his dad with the instruction, "Dad, you can only drink these coffee beans with me. Save them for when I'm around. I'll come over and I will drink them with you." And to this day, the father looks back on that, and the coffee beans are long gone. They drank them together. But every time he goes into a coffee shop or he's getting a cup of coffee and he hears the sound of those beans grinding, he thinks, my son loves me. Simple, thoughtful gift that says so much more than if we just take a moment and think through that. Jesus did that. He is the incarnational gift to us. We can be creative about giving gifts. So there's a website called RethinkingChristmas.com if you want ideas about how to create gifts or come up with those kinds of ideas, because not every one of us, you can admit it, not every one of us are super, super handy with a glue gun. In fact, you should probably keep a glue gun completely out of my reach. But there are creative ways that we can give gifts to each other at Christmas. And so think through those things. Be willing to try those out. Last piece is love all. See, Jesus came to bodily to love everybody. Matthew 1, 23. Matthew 1, 23. I was trying to memorize this. You didn't have to flip there. You'll recognize it. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the angel Gabriel comes and tells Mary, look, you're going to have a baby, and you're going to call him Emmanuel. And that means literally God with us. God has come to be with us. Jesus came bodily to spend time with us. And that's an expression of God's love towards us. And we should share that love. We should express that same love to other people. Share Jesus with people in creative ways. That would be the loving all piece of this. Share people with Jesus in creative ways. If you're thinking about spending less and giving more, think about how you can express that to other people. What a lot of people do during Advent Conspiracy is say, I'm going to spend less on junk, spend more time with people and creating things, and take that money that I would have spent on junk and put that towards something that God is doing to love all. That's our challenge, is to say, God came and became flesh and died so that I could be a part of his family, and now I'm a part of that family. But I have a duty within that. I have a job of sharing that joyous story with people that need to hear that. So just some ideas of how that could happen. If you go to our website, which is passionforchrist.org, if you've ever been to our website before, there's a page right on the front that says ways, give creatively this Christmas. We actually put this up a couple weeks ago, but I think it's a good resource. If you go to our website, click on that. There's a bunch of organizations that have been vetted by Mountain View and we've worked with in the past that are good places for those extra funds to go to. That you can love all, send an expression of love to all through those. There's also lots of ways that you can be used right here in our town or our county to love others. There's the Friday night feeding of the kids. If you're not plugged into that, that's a great way to love people in our neighborhood, in our area. There's also the Health and Hope Medical Outreach, who needs people to help in that avenue. There's a mission. There's lots of different things that you can be plugged into and expressing this idea of loving all. So the question is, right, okay, thanks, Dave. You told us your thing. What does this mean to me? Why do I care? I hope that that this makes you think, that you challenge to think through what is Christmas about. As we light this candle, which represents the coming of Jesus, that should have great impact on us. That should be really special. But the reality is, society and culture has pushed back on that pretty heavily and instead made it, that candle is burning really fast, much like the time between now and Christmas, and I have to do all these things and be at all these parties and get all these cookies made and all these things that need to happen. So I'm saying, it's okay to push back on some of that and say, I'm gonna not spend as much. I want to, first and foremost, I want to worship God fully. I want to engage in this more. I want to spend less. I want to give more time of me, of relationships. And I want to love everybody that I can. So as you leave, I would encourage you, if you're curious, you want to engage in this more, talk about this with your family. This is something that you enter into with a family, with those loved ones around you, and say, all right, what would Christmas look like for us? Because Christmas is very much about family gathering and making those things happen. So talk about it with your family. It can be difficult, too, I know, for little kids to engage into this idea and go, what? What do you mean I'm not getting a new red bike for Christmas? We're giving that money to some kid I don't know. There are really creative ways, I think, that you can engage in this. One story is of a girl. I was watching there's a lot of stories from people who have participated in Advent Conspiracy online, and you can go to our website and find links to those, or they're on the Advent Conspiracy website. But she was telling the story about the chicken that she got for Christmas. This little girl said, I got a chicken. I was so excited. Well, I actually didn't get the chicken. A little kid in Africa got the chicken because he lives on a farm and they don't have much, but my family bought that chicken in my name so that he could have a chicken. So I got a chicken, but it didn't really go to me. It went over there because, well, I just want him to know that Jesus loves him. And that little girl was so excited about that chicken that she didn't have. It wasn't like she was petting the chicken. The chicken was all the way around the other side of the world, but that was her chicken. She was a participant in that. And I think there's creative ways that we can bring our kids into this re-envisioning Christmas and reclaiming it and saying, no, this is our story. We get to tell this story differently, in a radical kind of way, like Jesus came and embodied and changed the world. And I want to know about your stories. If you engage in this and come up with creative ways, I want you to call me or email, and my email address is on the back of the bulletin, dave@passionforchrist.org, and tell me your story. I'd love to hear it, and we want to hear some of those stories over the month of December. All right, let me pray. Father, we are so thankful for the gift of your son, Jesus, that you would send him in bodily form as a humble servant, born in a stable, that he would serve people his whole life and eventually die. But God, that you would use him, raise him up, and make him king and redeem us through that. We are so thankful for that. We thank you for the Christmas time, and we remember that embodiment, that you came as flesh. I pray that we would be challenged to interact with Christmas differently, that it would bring honor and glory to you, that we would worship you fully in that, that we would be challenged in how we spend our money and our time and how we love everybody. So we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.